Compass Finances God's Way presents Business God's Way, read by the author Howard Dayton. This lesson covers the importance of identifying and practicing your company's vision, mission, and values. We'll also learn how critical it is to seek the advice of godly people. Chapter 2, Values.
When David Palmer launched Palmer Software, he gathered his leadership team together for the first time and asked them a question. Did you ever hear of a successful sports team getting ready for the big game and not developing a game plan? Ever hear of an army preparing for war and not having a battle plan? Ever hear of a successful business preparing for their future and not developing a business plan? You know, a well-designed business plan is important whether you're the owner or CEO of a company or the manager of a department. Throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to plan. Proverbs 21:5 tells us, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit." In Luke 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus illustrates the importance of planning ahead when he asks, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Biblical planning begins with recognizing God's role in the business. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." You know, when you're drawing up a plan for a startup or an existing business, you should, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That is, welcome God into every aspect of the business. Let's face it, we need God's favor and guidance for the business to succeed. Proverbs 16, verse 3 tells us, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." If we plan apart from seeking the Lord's direction and only ask him to rubber stamp our plans, we're in a very dangerous place. We're to plan, but ultimately it's the Lord who controls the outcome. The late author Larry Burkett used to say, "Write your plans in pencil, then give the Lord the eraser." So often, business owners, entrepreneurs, and managers are consumed with running the day-to-day operations of the business, and they can overlook developing a business plan. In Business God's Way, one of our objectives is to help you develop your business plan with enough detail to enable you to achieve your goals. The business plan consists of the four primary components we mentioned a moment ago: values, strategy, people, and finances, all built on the rock-solid foundation of the truths found in the Bible. The biblical character Nehemiah is a terrific example of a person who prepared and executed a business plan well. He learned that the people of God in Jerusalem were vulnerable to attack because its walls were broken down and its gates were burned. Just as in any successful business, he recognized there was a need and he modeled the steps that we should take when developing our business plan. Here are the steps he took. First, prayer. When he learned of the problem, Nehemiah 1 verse 4 says, he sat down and wept. For some days he mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He said, "Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant. Give your servant success today by granting him favor." The single most important ingredient in the success of any business is to pray, especially when you're starting a business or making crucial decisions or grappling with something that's really difficult. Invite the creator of the universe to give you guidance as you develop the business plan. And as we learned earlier, he owns your business. He wants to be intimately involved as you manage it. Psalm 127 verse 1 emphasizes the significance of God's role in your business. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain." So now I want you to pause for a few moments and ask the Spirit of God to make this truth part of your thinking. Unless the Lord builds and protects your business, you're working in vain. This is the reason your business must be built on the foundation of prayer. When I was in the commercial real estate development business, I realized the importance of confirming that the Lord wanted me to develop a project before I started building it, because the cost of failure, well, it would have put me under. And on my last project, that meant praying on my knees, on the land of the project, every single day for 6 months. Finally, the Lord made it clear through a very unique set of circumstances that He wanted us to go forward with the project. And here's what I've discovered. When you know for certain that He's calling you to do something in business, it increases your confidence, it increases your courage, and you can experience peace even in the midst of challenges which are sure to come. The second ingredient for success is to have a clear purpose. In Nehemiah's case, the king asked him why he was so sad, and he responded by saying it was because Jerusalem had been reduced to rubble. Now listen to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "Send me that I may rebuild it." Nehemiah concisely communicated to the king what he wanted to accomplish. This was his 30-second elevator speech that summarized his vision and the mission. The last ingredient for success is to plan. Then Nehemiah told the king exactly how long he would be gone. He asked for letters from the king guaranteeing his safe passage and letters requisitioning the timber he'd need to build the city gates. Nehemiah had taken the time to plan ahead, and he knew exactly what he needed to be successful. You know, every business should have a clearly articulated vision, mission, and values. This is the framework from which every decision should be made. Now, because companies often define vision and mission differently, you may need to adjust the headings to conform to your definitions. Remember, without a clear vision, people tend to stray away, drift away from the real focus and purpose of the business. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says it this way, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained." And one of the biggest advantages of implementing clear vision, mission, and values is that they will attract the right people to your business and repel the others. The only thing worse than not adding staff when you need them is to add the wrong staff. Now, a vision or purpose statement does not describe what we do. It communicates why we exist. It should describe future outcomes, benefits, what the business will look like. Listen to some vision statements. They define how they want to be viewed by people in the markets they serve. And we've included Compass as an example for those who work in a church or a nonprofit charity. So here's First Southern National Bank's vision. "We will use our example, our influence, and our resources to help others make wise financial decisions." Here's Chick-fil-A's. "To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A." Here's Chevron's vision. "At the heart of the Chevron way is our vision, to be the global energy company most admired for its people, partnership, and performance." And our vision at Compass, "to see everyone, everywhere, faithfully living by God's financial principles in every area of their lives." Now let's shift and let's take a look at a business's mission statement. A mission statement describes the primary activity that must happen for a company to be successful. It defines what distinguishes your business and should motivate you to fulfill your purpose. Listen to these examples of mission statements. First, from Joe Gibbs Racing. "Our goal is to field for our sponsors and fans competitive race cars with the goal of winning races and championships. Our expectation is that we will be able to see in our success things that would have never been accomplished except by the direct intervention of God." Walt Disney's mission statement used to be very simple: to make people happy. First Southern National Banks is this. First Southern is a team committed to affirming the dignity and value of all people, being responsible stewards, delivering more than is expected, and making our communities better places in which to live. In our mission statement at Compass, equipping people worldwide to faithfully apply God's financial principles so they may know Christ more intimately, be free to serve Him, and help fund the Great Commission. So far we've talked about vision, we've talked about mission, and now we're going to talk about values. And values are so important for us to identify because a business's values are intended to govern how a business operates and how it deals with customers, vendors, employees, communities, and other stakeholders. The values help determine the priority of the business and really facilitate decision making. Remember, your values will help you attract the type of employee that you're looking for. So as an example, here are the values of First Southern National Bank. Generosity. Giving is huge. We believe in sharing our time, our knowledge, and our resources with others. Relationships. They matter a lot in our faith, our family, our friendships, and our work. Excellence. We strive for excellence in all we do. We recognize that it only comes through continuous learning and effort. Accountability. We believe that we should always do the right thing, and we hold ourselves accountable to that. Teamwork. We succeed as a team. Personal ambition is important, but each of us must be willing to sacrifice it for the greater good. Now, here are the values for Compass, which is a nonprofit ministry. Christ-centered. The Lord owns Compass and is the only one who really knows the direction we should take. He alone produces transformed lives. Spirit-led. In the same way that Jesus depended upon the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of the Father, we too are completely dependent upon Him to reveal God's will for Compass and for each of us as individuals. The third value is Bible-based. Everything Compass teaches and does must be based on the Word of God. Prayer-driven. Prayer is essential. Seeking the Lord's direction, provision, and protection through prayer must be a constant focus for us individually and throughout the entire ministry. Lastly, discipleship-focused. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. This was His priority, and it will be ours. Well, now we're going to examine something that is really important in order to succeed in business, and that is seeking counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15 tells us, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." You know, the collective IQ of a team is especially helpful when working on your business plan, and before making any important decision, subject it to three sources of counsel. First, the counsel of the Lord. In Isaiah 9, 6, we're told that one of the Lord's names is Wonderful Counselor. Psalm 32, 8 identifies God as our counselor. "I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." The Lord's counsel comes to us through prayer, directly from His Word, and indirectly through others. It's so important to remember that only the Lord can reveal truth and proper direction. Only the Lord knows the future and the ultimate consequences of a decision. In Zephaniah 1, verse 6, the Lord reveals He's going to judge the people, listen to this, those who have turned their back from following the Lord and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him. God wants us to ask Him for guidance in business, and He wants us to follow His directions. Now, remember the big picture. The Lord intends for us to use our work to help us grow closer to Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father invites us to ask His direction. So whenever you feel hurried or pressured, or you experience a sense of confusion concerning a decision, go to a quiet place, a place that will allow you to pray and listen for His still, small voice. The second source of counsel is the Bible. As we discovered earlier, The Bible is a living book that the Lord uses to communicate His wisdom and direction to every generation. So learn what God's Word says about a particular issue. Psalm 119, verse 24 says, "Your laws are both my light and my counselors." If the Bible clearly answers a question, we don't have to go any further because the Bible contains the Lord's written, revealed will. Unfortunately, the majority of business people who know Christ aren't daily Bible readers. If you want to know Christ really well, if you want to learn His ways, there's simply no substitute for spending consistent time in God's Word. If the Bible's not specific about an issue, we should seek the third source of counsel, godly people. Proverbs 15:22 reads, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." And Proverbs 11:14 adds, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory." Think about this. Each of us has a limited range of knowledge and experience. We need the input of others who will bring their unique backgrounds to give us insight and to stimulate our thinking with alternatives that we would never have considered without their advice. So I have a question to ask you. Are you surrounding yourself with wise counselors? In a business, they may be your board of directors, your leadership team, or even outside consultants. The key is surrounding yourself with wise counselors. I've discovered it's also very helpful to meet regularly with a small group of peers who are not associated directly with your business, to pray for one another, and to be accountable to each other. You'll experience the benefits of having a group of people who know you, love you, and give you objective counsel even when it hurts. You know, I'm more receptive to constructive criticism when it comes from somebody who really cares for me. Now, if you're married, the very first person to consult is your spouse. And frankly, in the beginning of our marriage, it was really hard for me to seek Bev's counsel in financial and business matters because she had no formal business training. But over time, I began to see that her wise advice, well, it saved us a boatload of money. Women tend to be gifted with a wonderfully sensitive and intuitive nature that is usually very accurate. Men, well, we tend to focus on the facts. Couples need each other to make the best decision. And I believe that the Lord honors the wife's role as helpmate to her husband. Many times the Lord communicates most clearly to the husband through his wife. So husbands, listen to me. Regardless of her business and financial aptitude, you need to listen to your wife's counsel. I committed never to proceed with any sizable business decision without my wife's agreement, and it saved our financial bacon. I was in the real estate development business, and a very attractive deal came across my desk. It looked like it was going to make us more money than we'd ever made before, and I worked on it like a dog for about 3 months and then took Bev out to see it. I gave her a slick dog and pony show to convince her that we should buy the land, and I thought I did a great job. So I asked her, "Well, honey, what do you think? It's really a no-brainer, isn't it?" She just looked up at me with those baby blue eyes of hers and said, "You know, I just don't feel good about it." I said, "What?" She said, "Yes, I just don't feel good about it." Well, it took me a few hours to recover, but then I went to my partners and told them I wasn't going to participate in the deal. They asked me why, and I said, "Well, Bev just doesn't feel good about it." They went forward with the deal, and they each lost more than $500,000, something that we never could have tolerated, and still started this ministry. Now, one reason it's really important for husbands and wives to agree upon these big decisions is because they both will experience the consequences. Even if their choice proves to be disastrous, their agreement protects their marriage by leaving no grounds for an "I told you so" fracture in the relationship. When a couple seeks each other's advice, they're communicating, "I love you, I respect you, I value your insight." But let me warn you, we need to avoid one particular source of counsel. Psalm 1, verse 1 tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The word blessed literally means happy many times over. And the definition of a wicked person is one who lives his life without regard to God. In my opinion, it's permissible to seek input from those who may not know Christ for facts and technical expertise, but you're responsible to make the final decision. Startups and entrepreneurs. I was confused. I sensed the Lord wanted me to start a real estate development company, but that meant transitioning from a business I knew to one I had no experience in and knew so very little about. It was going to be far too risky a venture. Then the Lord graciously brought me a mentor who was a godly man with decades of successful real estate development experience. I learned more about the business in 2 years than I would have in 10 trying to do it on my own. If you're thinking about starting a business or you find yourself in the midst of one, it's imperative that you pray for the Lord to send you a mentor. This can mean the difference between success and failure. In fact, I believe all of us would benefit by having a seasoned mentor, someone who has experienced challenging times as well as success. And as you become experienced in operating a business God's way, you too can serve as a mentor. There are few activities more gratifying than helping an eager learner.